Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Very good article written at the Washington Post about the Milwaukee Bucks. Ben Golliver, national NBA writer, with nothing but praise for the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk to him at 9:30 here this morning, so do be with us for that. Right now, it's past 9 o'clock, and I'm not going to be all talk here. I'm going to do this. The Brewers, 4 minutes ago, started their Wisconsin presale for Cubs games. So single-game tickets go on sale on Saturday. But right now, you can, if you live in Wisconsin, you have to prove it, but you can buy tickets for a Brewers-Cubs game, and they're doing this to try to limit Cubs fans from coming. Now, last year they did this, and it didn't really work. This year, it's to do it again after you win the division, you go down to their place and win, and it's like, am I overreacting that I think it's minor league, 799-1250, or is...
I have 6 minutes to do this transaction. I'm 4 minutes.
You're doing
into
it too?
I was trying to do it during the update. It's 8, 9 o'clock, man. I'm trying to get tickets. So I got four of them here.
So you're going to go to the game?
The Saturday game? The Saturday game. We got the Sunday season tickets, but I want to go to the Saturday game too. I want to take the family for that one. So,
but again, these Brewer Cub games at Miller Park are terrible. They are not enjoyable. They are awful.
No, for you, they're not. For me, they're. I love them. Of course I'm going to go. It was enjoyable last year. It was enjoyable last year when the Cubs were here in September. Remember Labor Day? That was a beautiful thing. The Cubs blowing that lead against the Brewers, and the Brewers coming back after Rizzo hit the home run. Loved it.
I was at a game on a Friday night in April where Orlando Arce had a walk-off hit,
yeah.
And I looked around my section, and I was with my brother, my dad, and my wife, and we were all cheering, and we were the only four people in our section cheering. Because we were full of Cubs fans.
Nope, I love it.
And that was a Wisconsin presale, and it still didn't work.
Well, I don't care. I want to go to the game.
So I'm going to buy tickets and sell them. So the Brewers, thank you. You're helping me make money because I am a Wisconsin resident, so I will buy the tickets, and then I will sell them to the highest bidder. Now, if that's for Brewers fans, great. If it's Cubs fans that want to buy it on the secondary market and I can quick double my money, okay, that's fine too.
No, see, I mean... That's not what that's there for, though.
But that's what's going to happen,
but
so
I know.
Why not
but
profit
why are you contributing
it?
To the problem by reselling your tickets to the
Because if everyone's doing it, I'm just going to get
everybody's
in on the
doing,
fun.
I just told you, I'm not doing it.
Well, there's still some suckers like you that will go to these games.
Why? How am I a sucker for
because
going to these games?
Because you get overtaken with Cubs fans, and everyone gets in fights, and
no.
You get yelled at in
no.
Your own home ballpark.
I have not gotten ever one fight ever at Miller Park with any fan from Chicago. No. No, no, no. No, these are in our ballpark. It's a new day. Yeah, Cub fans are still going to come up to the ballpark, but I want to go to the game. Yeah, I never had a problem. And if the Brewers are winning games, you'll hear from Brewer fans at these games. When they won that game on Labor Day, it was awesome being there, and you heard Brewer fans in the stadium that day. That was awesome. Don't resell the ticket to a Cub fan.
But
that's not what the purpose of this is to do.
But everyone else is going to.
When you say everyone, 100% of the people are doing it?
No, Chuck. 100%
okay.
Of the people are not doing
okay,
it.
Okay, but then why do you got to do it then?
Because most other people are doing it. And here's this. Listen to this. If I resell my tickets and make some money, that's more money I have to spend to go to other games and continue to enhance the attendance for Miller Park.
Well,
which in turn lets the Brewers spend more money on amenities, which brings more money in the ballpark, which in turn lets them get more money on free agents. So in a way, by buying the tickets and selling them to the Cubs fans and then reinvesting the money I make into the Brewers, aren't I, by principle, helping the Brewers win?
Bart, are you honestly doing that? Like, you take the $1,000 and put it into Brewer tickets.
I would, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to help my team win.
You're going to set that money aside to buy for future tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And T-shirts.
Oh.
Hats, T-shirts, and jerseys.
Come on.
And Brewers pullovers.
Don't BS a BSer, as we used to say.
And Five Long Island Challenge at Fridays.
Oh, you ain't doing that. No, you're doing exactly what I thought you would do. Buy tickets and resell them on the market.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I am doing that, but I'm going to reinvest that into the Brewers.
Okay, well, I don't think you're going to do that, but if you say you are, that's okay.
I'm just teaming up with the Brewers to make our team as good as possible.
I'm teaming up with the Brewers because I want to go on that Saturday game against the Cubs the first weekend of April. Final Four, I think, that night, too.
Now, did you notice that all the Brewers and Cubs games are on the weekends? I don't think that's by accident.
I noticed that the Brewers are in Chicago second weekend of May. But shouldn't these games be during the week when you would guess at the end of a fall? Although last year, on a Tuesday, in late in the year, the Tuesday game in September, I had problems selling my tickets because I had to cover the game and I had some extra tickets and I couldn't sell them. Even for face value outside, everybody had their tickets. It was a buyer's market out there.
Nobody wants to go because that'd be a seller's market.
Hmm? No,
you're right. You're right.
It's a buyer's market.
I'm dumb. I'm a dumb person.
It's a buyer's market.
I'm a dumb person. Yeah. I'm a stupid man. 799-1250. Sean is in Racine. Ooh, that's close to the border.
Oh man.
What's up, Sean?
First of all, can I go on a little bit of a rant like KJ did the other morning without getting interrupted?
Oh, sure.
Depending on what you want to
talk
about.
How long do you need?
Just give me 20 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I love the show. It's hilarious listening to you, too. There's times stuff gets irritating, but I still love it. Listen every morning. Bart, you're being a little bit two-faced this morning. You're either trying to get people riled up to get some reaction, or this is really you, and it's kind of bogus. You want to sit there and complain about the Cubs coming down, Cubs fans coming up here to Miller Park every time there's a game, but then you're adding to the problem by saying you're going to make money off the tickets to turn around and sell them to Cubs fans or whoever is the highest bidder. Do you really think other Brewer fans, if they feel like you are going to spend double the amount when they could do what you're doing now and go online and buy them, it's going to be Cubs fans. So basically you're saying it sucks. Why would you want to go? But then you're adding to the problem. It's not right. I deal with enough stupid Cubs fans down here in Racine. I shouldn't have to deal with it when I go to the park, so why add to the problem?
Can I now engage you in conversation?
Yes, sir. That's no problem.
Did you listen to the show? Like, are you a newer listener? Did you listen last summer much, or when did you?
I've been listening to the show for probably over 6 years.
Excellent.
So
wow.
Before you were part of it.
Okay, so you had to go through that rocky transition?
Yeah.
You mean of you and I, or?
Sometimes some stuff can be a little frustrating listening to, but you guys have worked it out, and I'll say you're doing a lot better.
All right, good.
Some days are diamonds, some days are stones.
Okay, all right. Last year I came to the conclusion, and this, you know, this is not, I'm not trying to rile anybody up, but I do feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Brewers should just punt these games. What I think they should do is charge
not again
way more money for tickets because you can't outnumber Cubs fans. You just can't by sheer volume. You can't do it.
Who owns the division right now?
The Brewers do.
Yes.
But you're still going to get more Cubs fans coming up to these games. They look at it as, hey, we can go. It's like when you stay in a hotel in another state. You just, mm-hmm. you trash it. Who cares? You're never going back there. So what the Cubs fans do is come up, they trash it, they get, you know, they get their rocks off on being able to do let's go Cubbies and out drown the Brewers fans
sure.
that are like diehards that won't give up their tickets even though they see what's happening around them.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you're the Brewers, you should be the ones jacking up the money, charging the Cubs fans, nickeling and diming them out of it, make it so high that they stop coming, and then lower the prices and let Brewer fans come. But okay, in the meantime, if they're not going to do that, then I'm going to do that on their behalf.
I have a refute to that because the Brewers do not need the Cubs fans' money. So there's literally no reason for them to do that. If they jacked up the price.
The Cubs just started their own TV network. They're going to be making money hand over fist over the Brewers for the rest of infinity. The Brewers need to do whatever they can to keep up with them.
But do you really think they're going to make that big of a difference money-wise, income-wise, if they double or triple the price just to jack off Cubs fans on the ticket prices? It's not going to make a big difference. So we're sitting here giving up home field advantage, and it should be different this year than last summer because the Brewers did win the division. They went to game 163 in Chicago and beat them. So then there should be a little, because we all know how Brewer fans can be. They can be fair weather at times unless they're old school and they're living off the 80s. So now there's more hype about it.
Yeah, all the championships we won in the 80s.
Oh, they're just clinging to that one World Series, and that's all.
Hey, you know what? No. When you say Brewer fans, here's where I disagree. Brewer fans are not bandwagon jumpers. They've been supporting a lousy franchise that has never won a championship for all these years.
True. People continue to go. A lot of people come to that stadium for a long time. I'm just saying that overall they don't have as big of a fan base consistently over the years until last year.
Well, I mean, that's look around in sports. I mean, Baltimore, when they were
don't
winning.
Don't be too hard on Sean. It's already hard enough for him to listen to the show.
No.
It's not hard.
I think Brewer fans, you know, even in some of these down years, they still get 43. Yeah, they're giving something away, but the fact that people are still taking time off on a Sunday and going through and getting a bobblehead for a Sunday afternoon Brewer game when the Brewers are out of the pennant race and you can still get 35, 40,000. I think that's amazing.
It's the experience of Miller Park, which is awesome, which has kept a lot of people. We know that. They're going to, though, have more fans this season just because of last year. It's some of the Fairweather fans that are going to start all of a sudden latching on because they went to the postseason, they won the division, they have an MVP, and they took care of the Cubs in 163.
Great. Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of people who jumped on, including people in my family, who were not big Brewer fans, but they got a little taste of that last year, and they're all on board coming into the season. And I say, Bart, bring it on. Let them. Hey, if you want to be a part of it, go ahead, man. If you want to be jump on this bandwagon that they got in town, they're looking for new fans. Great. If you got sucked into last year and you're all in now, great.
Sean, have you called before?
Yes. I don't always have a chance to call in the morning, but I had the opportunity this morning, and I got a little heated up when I heard you saying you were going to sell those tickets, so I had to.
Well, don't be a foreigner to the show.
Yes.
I like you.
It was a good call.
I like you. Thanks, Sean. Sean in Racine, 799-1250. I like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he brought some passion there and all that.
I like to be challenged every now and then. Since I've figured out how to conquer Chuck in every argument,
Yeah. Starting when? I'm Chuck Freeman. Let's
Winkler having his problems tonight.
Did you get your tickets?
No, I got distracted by Sean. So what Sean did was distract me from buying the tickets.
Well, when you were arguing, I was trying to finish up my order here. I paid for them. I paid $120 for three tickets at the terrace box area. But I'm trying to find them now.
Uh-oh.
On my tickets accounts.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to find them.
Where'd they go?
I don't know. See, I like the old school way of getting a paper ticket in my hand. This whole electronic BS, I hate it.
I know.
I hate it. Now I got to find where my tickets are. Manage your tickets. Go to my tickets. Oh, God. And I went there and I can't find it, so I must be doing something wrong. But, I mean, I think I got the tickets.
Let's go to Josh in Greenfield, 799-1250. What's up, Josh?
How's it going, guys?
Josh.
First time. Long time.
So. Uh-oh.
That means
somebody did something to rile you up, man.
Hang on, Josh.
And don't be a foreigner to the show.
Take it away.
Hey, Josh.
Okay. Yeah, I got a little foreigner. So I'm gonna put an interesting spin on this for you. I live in Wisconsin. I'm not from Illinois. That's a saving grace. But I am a Cubs fan. I live here. I've gone to tons of these games.
Sorry, the audience.
Winkler having his problems today.
Not happy.
Yeah,
go on.
I know. It's going to get worse. But so here's my thing. I've been to a ton of these games. I'm going to have to agree with Chuck, obviously. You know, you've got to support your team. And, you know, everybody keeps talking about the money part of this and making money, and I get that. But when I go to these games and I'm there with my fans, it is kind of like, where's the rest of the Brewer fans? You know, you almost kind of feel bad for that fan base. And, you know, being this, I'd say it's a healthy rivalry, especially with the Brewers' success. I think you need to go support your team.
Okay. Yeah, well, I that's the way I feel.
He feels bad for Brewer fans, Josh says.
Well, I mean,
I feel bad for the Brewers that, you know, their fans just can't come out, you know, and I know that, you know, you're going to have fair weather fans, you know.
No, it's a number thing. We always try to do, like, why aren't Brewers fans passionate enough? Why aren't they good enough fans, et cetera, et cetera. It's simple math here. You just got more people in a greater amount of area that have been fans for longer because of all the history and everything to it. There are just more Cubs fans in the 2-hour radius of Miller Park than there are Brewers fans. And it's just, you can't fight math. You can't fight math. So
you can't fight math. You can't fight math. I get that. But what I'm saying is, what is a beautiful thing is when you're, you know, if you want to consider yourself an underdog team to an extent, you know, you get into these games, and if the Brewers come out winning, and it, you know, if it's a bottom of the ninth situation, you win, and that place is going ridiculous. That's what the game is all about: is to be there to support your team, and when those awesome things happen, you're there for it.
Josh, you're being booed off the stage. I gotta let you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I
appreciate the call. Don't be a foreigner, but the audience has spoken.
And what's that?
You got booed off the stage.
Why?
Because of being a Cubs fan.
Oh, but being a Cubs fan. Okay. Yeah. First time caller and he's a Cub fan.
Yeah.
That's not good. God. While we were going back and
find
forth.
Find your tickets?
No, I'm still trying to find it. God.
Well, let me bring Jim on from Chicago.
Please don't make it so impossible for me to find my tickets.
And you keep doing what
Save,
you're doing.
Save, paper, go digital. Sure.
You don't understand the jokes I make. You don't understand how to find your tickets.
Make it impossible for the fans to, once they buy the tickets, to find your tickets.
You keep doing that. And
paper tickets.
I'll just talk to Jim.
Hey, Jim.
What's up, Jim? God. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good luck on that, Chuck. I understand all that.
God, don't you hate this electronic ticket stuff?
Exactly. Man. It's ridiculous. Well, hey, one quick question as a side. Why aren't we talking about the Bucks right now?
Oh, he's laughing. Now, if he went to laugh, we'd have like, okay.
Ben Golliver will join us at 9:30. We will continue to talk about the Bucks momentarily.
Maybe.
I heard it earlier this morning. So here's the thing. I completely understand why Brewers fans would sell their tickets to Cubs fans, because you're looking to make a quick buck and a lot of money. And put this in perspective. Milwaukee people are the ones that drive around Summerfest for 45 minutes to find a spot in the street rather than pay $15 to park at the Italian Community Center. I mean,
are you talking about me?
Are you talking? So true.
I'm talking, man. I'm parking. I'm parking like on Martin Luther King Drive and taking an Uber in, practically. Yes. To get to Summerfest, boy, that $25 fee down there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, well, good luck with those tickets, man. I hope you get them.
It's a pain in the ass.
Jim,
I mean, there's no
for the
better
call.
Way of putting it. Electronic tickets are a pain in the ass.
Here, I'm going to take this tweet from Kyle and then make it one step further. He says, sell all the Cubs tickets for $300 each, $20 items at the concession stands, jack up the prices for the Cubs fans, and then use the profits to do a night where you give the Brewers a free night. Like, you can give out the tickets to kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them to season ticket holders. You can let people that buy season tickets in the 400s come sit down low, do a night, a free night with all your Cubs profits, and reward everybody that's been such a loyal fan. That's
sure.
A great idea. I'm a genius. Thank you. Kyle is also a genius. Once again, I've outsmarted everyone.
So I disagree, but I'm more concerned about my tickets here. And I go to this thing called My Ticket Inventory.
And it you've says, been in and out this segment.
You do not have any inventory at this time. I just bought 3 tickets. How do I not have any inventory?
Do they think Lamira is a
Make it
Illinois
easy.
Resident?
Let me just, you know, maybe that's it.
It's closer here to Illinois than it is to Lamira.
You know, you're right. You know, you're right.
Maybe that's it.
You're right. We're close, just like we're closer to Soldier Field than we are Lambeau Field.
Chuck and Winkler.
Make it easy on the customer.
Served up by Perkins on the Fan.
All right, when I talk about make it easier on the customer, the Q Club of Wisconsin always makes it easy on you to watch all your favorite sporting events, and they got the volume on. You know something? If you are not a sports bar, if you go to your, if you go to that place and you want to watch a game and you ask the waitress, hey, can you put the volume of the game on? Oh, no. We got music going. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were a sports bar. Okay. Given a recent incident that old Freems had. You never get that stuff at Q Club of Wisconsin. Your place to watch all your favorite sports action. They'll put the game on, game you want, the volume on. They'll do the whole thing for you. Not only do they got your favorite sports action on, they got the indoor sports going on there, the huge entertainment room, the pool tables, tornado foosball, shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, and all that at the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side. Not only can you watch your favorite team on TV, but you can have delicious food, awesome burgers, man, terrific wings, appetizers, the award-winning fish fries Wednesday and Friday nights. Your choice of four different styles piled high with all the extras. They got live entertainment on weekends. It's a terrific sports bar with the games on and the good food. What more do you want? Q Club of Wisconsin, Waukesha's north side. Take 94, get off on Highway T. That turns into Grandview, about a half mile south. And there it is, Q Club Wisconsin. Go in, enjoy their entertainment room, enjoy the food, and, of course, sports most importantly. The Q Club of Wisconsin, their website, qclubofwi.com. Visit them on Facebook. But I'm telling you, for all your sports watching, the volume on, good food, it's the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk to Ben Golliver here in just a couple of minutes. Washington Post just wrote an article, no drama, all action. The Bucks are a riveting juggernaut hiding in plain sight. NBA reporter coming up momentarily. The main thing we have to figure out first is, did you find your tickets yet, Chuck, who just tried to buy Wisconsin pre-sale tickets?
Ballpark app, you know, it just make it easy on the consumer, people. This electronic ticket, if you want to do it, I don't see my tickets in there. It says I bought tickets. I'm frustrated. So I'm going to have to talk my ticket rep coming up here after the show.
Well, we did get a tweet here from Lee.
Yeah.
He says, Chuck, I'm pretty sure the tickets appear in your inventory on February 18th.
Oh, so they're not there yet?
Check the fine print in the email you got.
My email says...
So you can just wait till 10 o'clock and do that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not good to go on air.
We'll get Ben Golliver here in 25 seconds. Giannis last night after the win over the Pacers.
I'm not trying to sound arrogant and cocky because that's not who I am, but I don't think there's one guy that can stop me. You know, it's got to be the whole team effort. You know, they got to load, they got to double team me. They got, when I get to the paint, three guys, you know, swarm at me. That's the only way. They got to all work together to stop me from making plays, not getting points, from making plays.
That's Giannis last night after the game becoming self-aware of just how good he is, like those greats before him. We jump on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, national NBA reporter, co-host of the Open Floor podcast. He is Ben Golliver, joins us on, again, the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Ben. Thanks for a couple minutes.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys, how's it going? I love hearing Giannis talking like that, by the way. You know, sometimes when you get into those upper echelons of the NBA discussion, it becomes campaign season, right? I mean, there's awards at stake. There's kind of fame and notoriety out there for the taking. And I love Giannis tooting his own horn. And I love the Bucks GM, John Horst, kind of going out and telling me, look, not only should Giannis be an MVP candidate or the MVP, but he should also be in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation too. I love it. That's what time of year it is, and I love that they're stepping up.
You know, when you think of the great players, the guys who everybody knows, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, NBA guy, household NBA guy, knows LeBron, knows Harden, guys like that. Do you think Giannis is maybe because of this season, or is it going to take the playoffs, that he's becoming a household name nationally?
Well, it's interesting because I think he's more of a household name internationally, right? I mean, he's got more all-star votes than anybody besides LeBron. He's clearly got a huge awareness in different pockets of you know, basketball fans around the world, but there's no question there's growth potential for him here locally, and it's just because of, you know, the fact that he hasn't gone deep in the playoffs yet. And I'm not sure the rest of the NBA universe or the casual fans have really caught up to what the Bucks are doing quite yet. I mean, their offense is just unbelievable. And he has made such strides as a playmaker that I think that when the casual fans tune in, they're not going to just see this guy trying to dunk all over the Celtics like he did in last year's playoffs or a couple years ago, where he maybe gets frustrated at times in the postseason. And I think he made some headlines for, you know, a flagrant foul on Mike Dunleavy. I mean, this year they're going to see a full-fledged playmaker, a guy who's very much in the mold of almost a LeBron or a James Harden, where the ball's in his hands an awful lot. He's setting up his teammates for wide open shots. Everything in their offense sort of revolves around him, and I don't think everyone's completely ready for it. And I'll be honest, I can't wait for it. When I look at, you know, the biggest storylines heading into this postseason, there's lots of good ones. Like, I would love to see a Thunder Rocket series in the playoffs. I'd love to see who could really push a Golden State as well. But I think Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks breakthrough or potential breakthrough here is one of the very top stories that we're looking at when we come into the postseason.
So the Bucks at 43-14 here at this All-Star break. I mean, it's as good as they've ever played here in Milwaukee, outside maybe that championship season some 40 years ago. They have some things working against them. Just historically, they haven't won a first-round playoff series in 17, 18 years. This team completely removed from those teams, but that, you know, there's that curse. You do have people thinking, okay, well, Mike Budenholzer has taken a team 60 wins in the East before. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. Maybe they don't have enough shooting. Maybe they need Chris Middleton to play like an all-star and not mediocre as he's been at times this season. What do you think over the next couple of weeks here, a couple of months before the playoffs do start, where do the Bucks have to tweak themselves and get better so that they can sustain a long playoff run?
Well, you know, the first thing on the coach Bud skepticism, I mean, remember that 60-win Hawks team, they fell apart because of injuries. I mean, that was really their downfall, and it was an ugly ending for them getting swept by LeBron and the Cavaliers, but I don't think that was sort of an accurate portrayal of what that team could be in the playoffs. And I think people love to cite that team as, oh, you know, they got everybody's hopes up and they let people down. It's like, well, when half your team gets injured, you know, that's a little tough. But, you know, in terms of this year's Bucks, remember that Giannis has had his minutes scaled back so much this season. The last time I checked, he was playing 33 minutes a night. I mean, that is so far below what superstars play in the postseason. And I think that's one reason why I'm really bullish on what Milwaukee can do in terms of making a deep run, because the longer you keep Giannis on the court, the more the positive impact that superstar player is going to have. And, you know, I understand it's very rare for a team to go from like a first round and out all the way to the finals or all the way to, you know, deep to the conference finals. But it's also rare to have the best player in the conference. And to me, when we're looking around the East, you know, I understand the arguments for Kawhi Leonard or Joel Embiid, but if we're talking about total overall impact, and, you know, how it's translating to team success on both offense and defense, to me, the answer is Giannis, and that's pretty simple. And I think for them, they should expect to win a first-round series easily, you know, given the quality of the matchup they're going to be in, whether it's the 1-8 or the 2-7. And from there, they've got questions, but so do everybody else. I mean, Boston's got chemistry questions. Philly's got to put their whole roster together here after the deadline. You know, you look at Toronto, Milwaukee's own Toronto this year in the head-to-head matchups too. And I think one advantage that the Bucks have that some of those other teams don't have, I don't see them splintering because of ego purposes or because of personality conflicts or fights over the ball. The way they play has the benefit of keeping everybody happy because the ball moves and because everyone knows who the superstar is. There's no real questions about roles. There's no tug of war over whose ball it should be. And I think teams like the Sixers and the Celtics especially are going to run into those questions. Or even the Raptors, you know, when they get late in games, it seems like the whole thing slows down, Kawhi dribbles, and he throws up a contested shot. And that's not a lot of fun for your teammates to watch. And when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they've got the chemistry factor and the fit factor with their roster that maybe would make up for some of the bigger talents that other rosters have.
Okay, so you think that there's a couple of teams there in the Eastern Conference that you can see, even though they have some talent, that there might be some selfish attitudes that might cost these guys a few games in the postseason.
Well, we know in the postseason that things get really tense, right? I mean, we've seen LeBron James go at his coaches before, whether it's David Blatt or whoever else. We've seen guys, you know, fight over the ball. I mean, it just happens. The pressure is magnified. And when you've got some not very clean fits, I mean, look at Philly. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Philly, especially after that Tobias Harris trade. And you've got some guys who don't want the ball late in games, like Ben Simmons, because, you know, he doesn't want to shoot the free throws, doesn't want to shoot the jumpers. And so you're going to have real questions. What are you trying to do in those pressure-packed moments? Who's going to step forward? That's an open question for them. Same thing in Boston. I mean, all we're hearing about is how the players and their post-game comments are just so miserable. And, you know, Kyrie Irving might be leaving or he might not be leaving, and he doesn't owe you anything. And he's always trying to make these negative headlines. You just don't hear that from the Milwaukee Bucks. And I wrote this in my story, but, you know, if the NBA is kind of a soap opera these days, and the Bucks are a terrible soap opera because they have no drama. All they do is go out there and win basketball games, and they seem to like each other, and they play basketball the right way in very San Antonio Spurs, you know, Coach Bud-like fashion. And I think that makes for a bad soap opera, but a great basketball team. And ultimately, when I'm looking at, you know, postseason matchups, I want to know which teams are going to be able to play to their potentials, which teams are not going to beat themselves. And to me, that's the Milwaukee Bucks. And I could easily see a team like Philly or a team like Boston, you know, if they hit some adversity, you know, there being some implosion potential.
Talking with Ben Golliver, NBA reporter, Washington Post. There is a lot of a lack of drama with this Bucks team. They are winning. And basically, when we get on the show to talk Bucks, it's, all right, tell me how super they are. And then Tuesday's show will be, tell me how great they are. And then Wednesday's show will be, tell me how awesome they are. Because they are playing very well and playing very consistent. There is, however, Ben, one topic with this team that does bring up drama, at least with our listeners and our callers, and that is Chris Middleton. Where Chris Middleton is an all-star, but I think that Bucks fans have kind of viewed him. They want him to be a true number two. They want him to. They've been trying to trade him for Bradley Beal for the last five seasons. They always want to improve, even though the Bucks are 43-14. They're always trying to improve that second spot on the Bucks. I think a lot of Bucks fans also don't want to pay him $30 million if he is going to be earning the max if the Bucks do want to keep him. I just think that he's such a nice compliment to Giannis that you try to keep this together as long as you can, and I'm not convinced that one of these other superstars will actually come to Milwaukee even if they say they want to play with Giannis. So how do you view Chris Middleton? Is he deserving of the All-Star nod that he got, and what kind of offseason should we expect from him financially?
Yeah, I was glad he got the All-Star. I mean, this might not have been a perfect season for him, but it did feel a little bit like a career achievement award. He's always been like kind of on that borderline All-Star level. And to me, the sacrifices that he's made in terms of, you know, sliding in comfortably as the number two guy, not rubbing up against Giannis, not trying to take away that shine, don't take that stuff for granted, because that's really hard to find in today's NBA. But I understand what your callers are saying. I mean, you really like or you love Chris Middleton at his current contract number, but the idea of paying him almost double or whatever it would be, you know, on the new deal, it does make your skin crawl a little bit, because now you're locking into that core. And, you know, if he's not that top 10 player or top 15 player, it makes you nervous about whether you'd be able to win a title. But I'm with you. I mean, I was stunned when Anthony Davis put the Milwaukee Bucks on his list. I loved it. It made me fantasize about what a Giannis and Anthony Davis partnership could look like. But the Bucks have some serious challenges when it comes to recruiting outside talent, and I think that's why you've got to give the front office a lot of credit here. I mean, they've made some really calculated additions, whether it was the Eric Bledsoe trade, the Brook Lopez signing, you know, right down the list of guys who fit well and who would be likely to re-sign in Milwaukee if, you know, they were feeling satisfied and they were finding success on the court. And, you know, they're at a very interesting juncture this summer after the postseason, where basically half the roster is free agents, and they're going to be able to sort of pick and choose which of those guys they want to keep in town. I would actually be surprised if there was a ton of outside interest in Chris Middleton, you know, in terms of those really big, crazy contracts. I mean, I understand that, you know, he's probably a top 10 free agent on this summer's market, but he's not a guy who's going to carry a team by himself. He makes the most sense playing along a superstar as a number two guy. And then, of course, he's already expressed interest in sticking around in Milwaukee, which, you know, that could signal some teams, hey, we should go look at some, you know, other comparable players. So I think, you know, long-term, big picture, he's going to still be there. I do think there's going to be some sticker shock once he signs his contract, but that's the nature of the beast in the NBA. I mean, these guys play well, they earn all-star nods, and then they get paid. And you just hope that his body can hold up here, you know, throughout the course of that next deal. That goes back to Coach Bud. I mean, he's really keeping the minutes off these guys in a way that Jason Kidd and Joe Prunty just didn't. I mean, they're definitely even being given nights off at times, you know, for strategic resting purposes. I love to see that. that's how sort of the top shelf, you know, A-list contenders handle things. And it's nice to see Milwaukee, you know, adapt some of those attitudes after, you know, running these guys into the ground basically the last few years.
You know, there's a rumor out there that the Brewers are the Brewers. No, we talk about the Brewers. The Bucks have acquired Mirotić. I think I saw a rumor last week that the Bucks did that. Yeah. I haven't seen him. I've seen like something that looks like him on the Bucks bench in street clothes. I think that's him. So, I mean, when he gets added to this team, if and when, I can't wait for that day. I was hoping it was going to be last night. I was hoping it was going to be against Chicago or even this past weekend. But what do you think Mirotić is going to add to these guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically what Ilyasova was supposed to be, and Ilyasova just didn't really work out, I mean, for age-related reasons, and, you know, he's just at a different stage of his career, and that was, you know, if you want to call it a misfire from their management, you know, that one, it made a lot more sense in theory than it's worked out kind of in practice, but what Mirotić gives you is the three-point shooting from deep. He gives you the versatility to kind of, you know, go off the dribble. If he gets a slower matchup, he can get to the basket too. You know, and defensively, he can play four and five. He just lets you stay completely spread out and also use those smaller lineups without having Giannis absorb all of the bruising and all of the pounding and all of the beating in those situations. So he's a very nice, versatile player, very clean fit, you know, completely like prototypical Bud-style player in terms of catch-and-shoot three-pointer, a guy who can get hot. I'm sure, you know, you guys and your listeners remember, I mean, he was scorching down the stretch of last season going into the playoffs. Had a really big playoff first-round series against Portland. I mean, he was probably one of the difference makers. When the Blazers loaded up their defense on Anthony Davis, Mirotić was just sniping and making you know, Portland pay with the three-point shot just time after time after time. And you can see the same type of opportunities being available for him with Milwaukee where, you know, as Giannis was, you know, saying in that quote you guys played earlier, everyone's going to have to collapse and help on him in the postseason. And when he's drawing two and three defenders, he's going to need guys to knock down shots, and Mirotić is certainly capable of that. He's been in the moments, and like a lot of these other guys that John Horst has acquired, I mean, he's a veteran, experienced player who's not going to be shocked and stunned by, you know, the playoff pressure. He's just going to step right into it and do what he does.
Follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Golliver, WashingtonPost.com. Ben, we appreciate it. We will get in touch down the road.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be there in June, guys. I'm not supposed to root for anybody, but I like how this Bucks team plays and how they carry themselves. I think they're good for basketball, and I hope it continues.
All right, Ben. It'll stay right for Summerfest if you want. So we'll have to talk about that later.
We'll talk to you later, Ben.
All right. Take care, guys.
Ben Golliver joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Yesterday around this time, you criticized me. Can I criticize you?
And I haven't done it for 3 hours and 45 minutes?
Yeah, can I? Constructive criticism.
And I know what you're going to say.
Then say it for me.
You're going to say I brought Summerfest up to him.
No.
And not everybody in the national scene knows about Summerfest. Okay.
Nope. Okay. Something else you did during the interview.
I was trying to get on mytickets.com.
Nope, you're always distracted when we're on the air. That's fine. That's just something we deal with.
Okay.
You always call teams the wrong teams. You want to talk about the Bucks, you call them the Brewers.
Oh, no, I do that.
We're talking about the Packers, you call them the Bucks.
I've been doing it.
You do it all the time.
Oh, I don't know. But that's one time.
I think when we're talking about the Bucks, I'll just hold up a jersey of the Bucks.
Because here's what we do. We go from the Brewers. Or we were talking about the Bucks earlier this today.
And you called them the Packers. You called them Mike Lombardi. You called the Packers the Bucks.
Because we just got done talking about the Bucks.
Well, we moved on.
Yes. Well, it's in the back of my mind.
All right. So I've taken your constructive criticism, and now you can take mine. Okay.
I don't remember what my constructive criticism was of you.
That I say things and just assume everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Okay, well, I thought my constructive criticism was stay off of Twitter.
Well, we've said that to each other. That's where we're both at. I've got some constructive criticism for all of you guys. Never buy a car again if it's not from Hyundai West Allis. This is the place to go. Also, for service, you know, some of these little pop-up shops that say they'll do your oil change in 5 minutes, you know, that's fine. But did you hear what happened to Sparky? Sparky went to go get an oil change.
On himself or the car?
For the car, okay. Yeah. He's kind of robotic at times. Yeah. That's my Sparky. Sparky goes to get an oil change and doesn't go to Hyundai West Dallas for whatever reason. Even though when you buy your car there, they'll help you out. Even if you didn't buy your car there, it's a great place to go for service. So he goes there and they change his oil, whatever. They say, hey, you need a new battery. Okay, give me one. And the guy's like, let's give you this one. Sparky says, are you sure? And then they go, yep. And then Sparky drives the car a little bit off the little lube changer there, and then it dies because they gave him the wrong battery that's not right for the car. So he eventually went to Hyundai West Dallas, where they took care of him. I took my car in last week to get an oil change. Told them that Gary Ellerson sent me, got a discount. Okay, let them know that either Gary or I sent you. You'll get that discount. Don't get treated like Sparky did somewhere else. You come and get the service that you want. Also, it is tax time. Hyundai West Dallas can help you make the most of your refund. You can drive home in a new 2019 Hyundai Tucson, $199 a month, or the Santa Fe like I've got, $219 a month. Hyundai Assurance, that's available. The good deals are available. Do let them know that you heard about them on The Fan. You will get discounts that you will not get anywhere else. Hyundai West Dallas, HyundaiWestDallas.com.
Coming up today,
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That Casanova right there is Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvat, our producer.
Yeah, but he mentioned much about Valentine's Day today.
Thank God.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, Horvat, you sound like an old married man.
I am.
And I saw you put on Twitter that you're old last night. God, yeah. If you're old, what am I?
Yeah, I am old. I have my first teacher-parent conference as a parent.
Those never go well.
I used to dread those because it would usually be followed up with the grounding for like 2 to 3 weeks. But my kid's much better than I am. And he's only 5 years old. I mean,
5 years old? Kindergarten?
Yeah.
What's parent-teacher? What's got to be said at those?
Yeah, exactly, man. You look at their art projects, you kind of go over. You know, I got to be careful because I walk into school to pick my kid up every once in a while, and everybody's like, oh, I listen to you guys. I love you guys. So I probably shouldn't like be ragging on everybody and in school and my wife as much.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
It gives you some street cred.
You're more well-established than me, though.
Yeah. I made fun of my nephew once on the air, and he was listening, and he was like 10 years old, and he cried.
Oh, he did?
He still brings it up.
Oh, I almost ruined the...
That sensitive piece
just tell
of garbage.
Him, mental toughness.
I almost ruined the Disney vacation just by being on air.
Now, you got some feedback for that yesterday?
For what?
For Disney, because we kind of trashed Disney.
No, I didn't really get any. Did you?
Oh, no. People know better.
No. Yeah, my wife knows I don't want to go. But you make sacrifices. One thing I wanted to bring up to you guys is a lot of talk about Antonio Brown requesting a trade from the Steelers. So the odds came out, and the Packers actually have the second best odds, third depending on what book you're looking at. The odds I pulled have the Cardinals 4-1, Packers 9-2 odds to land Antonio Brown, the Dolphins. They're on there, the Raiders, the Niners. Do you think that the Packers have a legitimate shot, nor would want Antonio Brown?
It sounds like he wants to go to San Francisco and play.
Yeah, Jerry Rice has came out and said that as well.
It sounds like he wants to go to San Francisco. What is he, 31 years old? I mean, he's a great player. He's got some issues. I don't see it happening.
Bart?
I really want to do a topic about do the Packers need... Do you want them to invest in like an explosive, like an Antonio Brown or a Le'Veon Bell?
A superstar?
Yeah, and you know, make a splash, whether it's trade or free agency. Odell Beckham could be on the trade market.
You mean like the Bears did with Khalil Mack?
Yeah, but do it on the offensive side.
Okay.
Do you think that the Packers want to do that? We wanted to do that topic every day this week, but every time we don't mention the Bucks, like
Bucks and six,
we get
baby.
Our license revoked.
Well, we may have to wait till the Bucks get eliminated by Golden State.
Sam Schmitz, who just joined on
with
us. And
then we'll have NBA free agency.
Made a great point to me back there. He's like, Antonio Brown would have the same issue in the Packers locker room playing with Devontae, though. I mean, he didn't have enough balls to go his way with Juju Smith.
Exactly. I think I don't know if that guy could ever be happy.
I don't think so either, man.
I just don't like the way
he was a big fan.
It.
Now he's got like, he like dyed his goatee.
Then why are the Packers so high on the odds?
I don't know, but.
I mean, they were high on the odds of Randy Moss.
They should have traded for him.
But AB is making about $13 million a year, all right?
Yeah.
You think he's going to make that in Green Bay? He's going to want $25 million.
Imagine Antonio Brown, like, wanting to go out to the nightclub, and he's in Green Bay, and he's like going to like what?
Go to Club 5-6.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not there anymore. You mean Nick Barnett's place?
It's a little different in San Francisco.
That was 2005.
Go drive 20 minutes, go to Stars.
Where's that?
Isn't that the one in Appleton? What am I thinking of?
He could go over to Stenny's. Coaches has.
I don't know. Are you talking about a strip joint?
Yeah.
Oh,
isn't
no.
it called Stars?
What's the place that the famous place in Appleton?
Isn't that not called Stars?
I see the billboard all the time. I don't know.
There's a famous place in Appleton?
A strip joint.
Oh.
But you see the signs.
Oh, man. What was the place I went to? I drove up to Appleton once. It was like a club for teens. Oh, my God.
A strip joint?
No.
Oh, is it Zero Gravity-like-esque?
Yeah, like, what was it called?
Like where you go in there and it's like 15-year-old girls and there's that random like 22-year-old like with his hair spiked up like hitting on young girls.
And you just grind with your chub through your jeans.
What?
Yeah.
Can I said
this
Nick
show
Chubb.
Needs to end.
I said Nick Chubb.
Great back. Is he going to get enough carries this year?
Back
that's a loaded back
to AB is not coming to Green Bay.
All right. Also, Ravens, they make a trade yesterday. Joe Flacco to the Broncos. Yeah. Elway, what are you doing? His quarterback list.
We trashed on Elway early in the show.
Yeah, he looks like a horse.
And then we went to talk about women who look like horse, and we never got back to Elway.
I don't have
now any. We're out of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's a good transmission.
Bean snappers
Bill Michael show coming up here.
Bean snappers.
Took an intern of mine who's back here to say that to me in my ear.
Chuck and Winkler back tomorrow at 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.